Welcome to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Each week we will aim to share conversations with a variety of contributors reflecting on a particular aspect of our life and witness in these days. These are being remotely recorded within the current guidelines. This is a new initiative, so please share this with others in your congregation or via social media, and make sure you subscribe through your favourite podcast software to receive future episodes. My name is Rick Hill, I'm PCI's Discipleship Development Officer, and I'm your host for this podcast. And today we're going to focus in on children's, youth and family ministry, and how that might need to be reimagined for the times that we're in. And so to help us do that, it's great to be joined by Susie, Nicola and Andre, who will each share how they've been responding in their various roles. So Susie, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and your role and the context that you serve in?
I am Susie. I am from Waringstown Presbyterian Church, and I am the children's and family worker there, and this is my fourth year of being in that role part-time with Waringstown.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll find out a wee bit more of what you've been doing in a moment. Nicola and then Andre.
Yeah, my name's Nicola Clark. I'm the youth worker in Orangefield Presbyterian Church, and I'm in my 11th year there in that role.
Yeah, hi, I'm Andre Alvarez-Reyes, recently installed minister of Mossside and Tobardoni. I was only installed there in November of last year, so I'm only in the door in many ways, but thankfully I've had enough time just to get to know a lot of my people, at least to a certain extent anyway.
Nicola, you're the most experienced in this conversation in terms of longest time in ministry, so I'm going to start with you, and I wonder, could you tell us a wee bit about what ways has the rhythm and routine of your ministry that you've known for over a decade, how much has that changed, and what ways have that changed in recent weeks, and maybe even how have you had to reimagine what you do?
Yeah, so what a strange time that we're living in. In some ways, loads has changed, and in other ways, some of it has stayed very much the same. We're keeping most things going, so our Sunday school, our teenage programme in the mornings and the evenings, our home groups, we're just continuing on with those, but obviously doing them remotely and virtually, which is a little bit different and a little bit new. But in those ways, we really wanted to keep those rhythms the same for our young people, that these things are still happening and we're still here. I always used to think I was quite tuned in as a youth worker, and then I entered the world of Instagram and my world has just changed and I'm becoming quite confident, but that was a really tough week of figuring out Instagram and trying to be cool.
I'd say people listening will be very encouraged to hear that some youth workers have been struggling with technology as they've maybe grappled with that themselves. Have you feel like you've lost some of the relational element in that, or what does that look like? Because relationship is kind of such a key aspect of youth ministry, isn't it? So what does that look like?
Yeah, and I think in the last number of years with social media and we've really been trying to encourage our young people, you know, get off your phones all the time and make those face-to-face connections. And now we're in the stage where we're saying, get on your phones and stay connected that way. And so we've sort of shifted that a little bit. But you do miss that face-to-face time. But we're seeing actually more of our young people connecting to the likes of our home groups because they're not as busy now. So they obviously don't have stuff that would have kept them from coming to those things. They're now connecting in, and so while we're not necessarily getting that face-to-face, we are getting more connection with more of our young people.
So in some ways engagement has gone up in this time.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Susie, how have you had to adapt and adjust in your children's ministry in Waringstown?
Yeah, I mean, as Nicola says, it has just been such a strange time. And I guess just navigating how that looks for children's ministry is even different to how it looks for youth ministry as well. And Connor, our youth worker in Waringstown, you know, he can drop his young people a text and he can say, get on your phones and come on to Instagram Live. And actually for kids, I can't do that. And I'm very much relying on parents to feed that information. We do have a very active kids parents WhatsApp group, which has been a real blessing, I think, for all of the parents, but I'm still not in contact with the children as such. We have just moved everything to online as much as possible. So we were doing a series in our children's talks, we were just learning a memory verse. So we still do that on a Sunday.
Yep.
And that is pre-recorded, and then it's shown, and then Stuart goes live for the service after that has played. And then on a Monday night, we do our Sunday school as such. So I'll, on a Sunday, give crafts, just email those to the parents to do while Stuart is speaking, that link to the memory verse that they have just learned. And then Monday night is their Sunday school program as such, and we try to keep that as normal for the kids as possible, which if you're not a WPC child tuning in, you're probably thinking, what on earth is happening? But we just try to keep the same routine going and go through the singing and praying and story and memory verse or whatever that we would normally do. So our kids are engaging with that at the minute, but I fear that there will be a time where they think, even as 5-year-olds, I just want human contact. You know, I don't want to watch a screen anymore. So, that's where we're at the minute. But missing the contact with the kids is definitely a big thing.
Yeah, you mentioned your WhatsApp group or whatever message group with families. Was that already a part of what you had?
Yeah. So we have parents WhatsApp groups both for kids and young people, and then we have a whole church broadcast list as well. So all those things were existed already, but we're just utilizing those so much more. And they would have just been used in the past for information, might now it's definitely a little bit more active. And so on Monday night, for example, I dressed up as a rapper as part of my YouTube video and told them to go and get dressed too if they wanted to do that, to pause the video, go get dressed. And then all the pictures started coming in of all the kids dressed up. So it's just wee things like that, actually, that the parents are still in contact and seeing each other do ministry. But again, the kids aren't seeing all those pictures really, you know, and they're not there outside of that WhatsApp group too.
I guess this has caused us to think about our communication to members, to particularly this episode. Totally. We're thinking about communication to families, to parents, and maybe some of these communication techniques or tools can actually continue beyond this as well.
Connor and I were actually just on the week that lockdown kind of started, we had planned to do a Faith at Home training night, and it was more just a night to encourage and empower our parents, and we ended up having to cancel that. And actually the irony that actually now the parents are doing Faith at Home, because they are literally having to do Sunday school for their child. And you know, we do try to send me follow-ups throughout the week and of things that they can be doing and reminders of verses and different things like that. So actually Faith at Home is happening, and definitely one thing that we will do better when we life gets back to normal is keeping our parents in the loop, and this is what they're doing. And I think parents are actually seeing now that it's maybe not as hard as they once thought, once they see somebody else through a YouTube screen doing it and telling them, right, you pray now or whatever, then it all becomes a bit more natural for families. So it's been a positive in that way.
Yeah, let's explore that Faith at Home concept a little bit later in the episode. Andre, while this is really encouraging to hear what's going on in Orangefield and in Waringstown as well, we're aware that many congregations aren't necessarily in a position to have a staff member leading in these areas of ministry. I wonder, could you talk to us about how, in your role as a minister, you've gone about trying to reach and resource families in your congregations?
With respect to children's ministry, I mean, I'm only in the door, and a lot of my week, well, before we even get to that, a lot of my week has still stayed the same with many respects. I mean, I'm still preparing sermons and doing the preparation for that, and preparing a service that would run as much as possible as the way it has always run. The difference is that it takes a lot more time to do that, to edit, to film, to upload, to publish. So in many ways, my week hasn't changed so much. What has changed is how I do it and the way I do it. Mm-hmm. But it also, when I was thinking about the way our service runs, I was very conscious that I didn't want to leave the children out, because they're very much a part of our congregation. And as I noticed in the first week or so, there are many messages being posted, like reactions to what's going on from churches, but a lot of them are geared towards the adults. And that's understandable, because the adults are maybe the ones who are more aware of what's going on and perhaps worried or anxious about the situation and need to hear from the Word of God about this. But at the same time, the children are also stuck in the house, maybe with anxious parents, and maybe they're feeding off that, and they need to know that God loves them too. They need to hear from the word of God too, and they need to know that their minister is thinking of them and concerned for them at the same time. So from the very start, I decided to include a children's address in my Sunday service and also do something, you know, for the children on a Wednesday as well, midweek, just to let them know that they aren't forgotten, that they're very much part of our church family. So thinking had changed sort of around that, and so you're very much concentrating then, okay, what do I do for the children as a sort of separate entity from what do I do from the adults?
And have you had much response to that? Are you aware of how that has been engaged with by some of the kids or families in your congregations?
To a certain extent, yes. It's hard to know how many people you've reached. I mean, I wasn't on Facebook until the week before last, so I'm still very wet behind the ears when it comes to Facebook. Certainly when I'm sharing the video, I share it on Facebook, but I also put it up on the YouTube. So when it comes to a Sunday, the children's address is just part of the Sunday service, so to speak. The way I do it is I record the different bits of the service, the call to worship, the readings, the prayers, and I piece it together with hymns from other YouTube channels, so I don't have to pay for licensing costs and things like that. I just link to the other channels, and so that the service runs like a pretty much like a normal service of worship. The only thing that's missing is the offering, which is a separate issue altogether. But on a Sunday, then the it's on YouTube now because I've set it for kids. There's no comments available, so I don't know that way. But I also then share on the Facebook page for the churches and also the Wednesday one. I would upload onto the Facebook page and onto the YouTube channel as well. But no one really seems to watch it on the YouTube channel. But from that, there are some. I mean, you get the same handful of comments, maybe about 5 to 10 comments of people saying they appreciated it. But then what's happened is, because each time I, at least once a week, I'm asking them to do something to draw a picture of this or to reflect or to send something into me. So what's happened is I may have received a few comments at one point in time, but then over the next couple of days, you see the pictures coming in. So it's really encouraging to see that the families have actually taken on board and given, you know, the children this craft idea, and they've sat with them and done that. And when you see them coming in, you're saying to yourself, okay, more people are actually engaging with this than I had thought.
Yeah. So you're actually creating a bit of two-way communication then. So it's not just here's me speaking to you, but actually you're trying to create interaction or even activities in the home and then sharing that with one another. It's really good.
With respect to my being in the country, well, part of it anyway is the internet speed is up and down here. And so doing something live might work in theory, but when your internet speeds are shockingly slow, you don't even know if people are actually hearing anything or getting anything that's going through. So all this is pre-recorded.
That's really realistic and helpful. Nicola, tell us about how you've been trying to go about resourcing families and discipling young people as well.
Yeah, so one of our desires and things that we've really been looking at over the last number of years has been this idea of intergenerational ministry. Yeah. And what we're finding now is this really cool opportunity to, I guess, introduce some of our adults to our kids who they wouldn't normally connect with. So one of the ways we're doing that is that we're doing bedtime Bible stories. On our kids' Facebook page, we set up a kids' Facebook page, obviously for the parents to connect into with their kids. And we've invited some of our adults in the church to read a bedtime Bible story as a video. And then we post that every evening at 6 o'clock. And it's just allowing kids to see, oh, there's this person in our church or this person. And it's just a lovely thing for families to sit down and do together. With our young people, again, this whole idea of that everything for them at the minute is online. Schoolwork, church, everything. So we're encouraging them to pick up their Bibles, like their actual Bibles, not use their phones, not use their YouVersion, but actually pick up their paper Bibles. And we're doing daily Bible readings and prayer times in the evenings. And we're just going through the fruit of the Spirit with that. And it's our young people who are doing those Bible readings. And it's not a Bible study, but it's just pick up your Bible and read this passage on love, joy, peace, patience, and then just taking time to pray. And that's been a lovely way just to see our young people and hear from them picking up their Bibles and pausing every evening just to read their Bibles.
I wonder if one of the blessings in this time has actually been that it's made children's and youth ministry a little bit more visible. Susie, I'm wondering, with your online engagement, are other people from the congregation tuning into this as well, yeah, who maybe don't have kids and seeing what you do now on a more visible basis?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I mean, even, and he'll not mind me saying this, even Stuart, to see actually what goes on in our Sunday school programs, because that's obviously when he's preaching. So even for him to see actually what are we doing with the kids, and for, you know, there's definitely grandparents and adults without kids tuning in. Now I imagine they're fast forwarding through it a little bit and not maybe listening to everything, but they are definitely engaging. And we have the first YouTube video has 500 views on it. You know, I definitely don't have 500 kids in WPC, so there's definitely more people tuning in. And I do really hope and pray that I see with the Facebook Live Sunday service as well, I really do hope and pray that people then are seeing a glimpse of church and saying, actually, that's not as daunting as I thought it might be, or actually, my kids enjoy that. I want more of that, you know. So
it's definitely a way that I wonder that I think we can be blessing one another in these days, and sharing our resources with others, so that every congregation might not necessarily have the tools or even need to create their own Monday night kids church, for example, on YouTube. But to share, you know, other people and congregations can benefit from that, mm-hmm, as well. I wonder if it's even part of the strengths, one of the strengths of being connected together as a denomination, that we can, mm-hmm, you know, resource one another.
Yeah, totally, totally. Although on that, I keep saying to, you know, other friends who are in different churches, actually what works for my kids might not work for your kids, you know. And it's definitely easy in this season to look at other churches and think, oh, look how they've done their YouTube video, or look how they're doing their Sunday morning worship or whatever. And actually, that's not what we do. We're just doing what we do, what works for us. And yes, absolutely, we want to share resources and support and pray for one another, but it's important to not be jealous or get competitive about it either.
Yeah, we're all flying blind here though, aren't we?
Totally.
But there can definitely be help and lessons learned as we go.
I'm
even wondering for parents too. One of my frustrations is driving home on a Sunday, I often turn to our eldest son and ask him, what did you do this morning in Sunday school, or Kingdom Kids as it's called? And he usually tells me nothing, you know, and we know that's not true. But initially it's quite hard to maybe get from him the story that they've been learning about, or the activities that they've been doing. So actually parents are right there and seeing what you're doing, so that's a real positive. We've been talking, I'd love to return maybe this faith at home conversation a little bit. We've been talking a lot in recent years about a collaboration between I guess church, children's and youth work, and family discipleship. It feels like the COVID-19 crisis has tipped the balance more heavily towards the family and the home as the primary environment for disciple making. I'm wondering what your reflections are on that. Andre, if you want to maybe pitch in first on that.
I suppose it's really hard to know what exactly is happening at home. In all of this, we try to equip our families as much as possible in this, and, you know, trying to give them everything they need throughout our Sunday services so that they can take that home. I suppose the danger is that parents use the church to be a surrogate parent for their children, if you know what I mean. In other words, you know, I'll do the homework and I'll teach the children values and stuff like that, some moral values at home, how to be a good child, how to have good manners, but I'll let the church teach them about Jesus. But the church is there to supplement family worship, not to replace it. So what I've seen in these sort of lockdown times is that hopefully the videos for the children, along with, you know, the competition that I ask children to do and all the different other bits and pieces, means that the parents can watch the videos with the children, ask them the questions, help them with the activities, and hopefully in some way we're aiding family worship without them even realizing it in some ways. So they're thinking about the Lord together. They're thinking about the Bible passage together, maybe asking the children about it as they're doing the craft activity, which can only be a good thing.
Nicola?
Yeah, I think it's still a bit of both and, in that there's still a need for that intergenerational and that whole family together and being in church together and doing that, I guess, digitally, when you're streaming services and all of that. But yet there's still something really important for young people, I think, to have that separate, like, come aside and let's meet together with your peers and do that.
That's really helpful. So you're pushing us towards we need both. It's not that actually we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater in one instance. I'm even thinking, actually, Nicola, for young people outside the church as well who don't maybe have a family who will disciple them or can disciple them. Actually, I wonder about the engagement there. If you're seeing some of your online engagement, actually, even young people are sharing it with their friends. Do you have any thoughts on that or stories on that even?
Yeah, so we're seeing with some of our kids and our young people connecting their friends from school who would have gone to SU and are Christians, but maybe don't have that family connection. And they're now jumping into our Zoom times for youth fellowship on a Sunday night, and or they're coming along to our online house group. And obviously you've still got all your legitimates. We've got to get parental consent, and but it's opening up some doors to connect with some of those families as well. Some of the responses that we've had from families who have no church background, but their kid really wants to come, they're coming back to us and saying, thank you for doing this, we really appreciate it. And it's opening up some wider conversations with families that we may never have had those conversations with before.
Susie, you were talking a bit about faith at home earlier on. What are your reflections on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely always something on our radar and how we can be doing this better. And I guess my fear is that the families who are already doing a pretty good job at it are still doing that, and those who it wasn't maybe a priority for are still not in some ways. I say we have a WhatsApp group and all the pictures come in as they're watching things, but actually there's 70 parents in that group and there's maybe 20 or 30 pictures coming in, you know. So my fear is that we are just losing kids who are maybe on the fringes or whatever, and I really hope that that is not the case. And I suppose similar to youth work in that yes, the family is absolutely the priority and the main place for discipleship to happen, but there are times even for a six-year-old that it's good to be with your peers. We haven't branched into doing like a P2 Zoom yet. I'm not entirely sure that's a line we will go down, but at the same time, actually conversation amongst your peers is something that is beneficial for even that age group. And I keep saying to our parents as well, actually your child is at school all day long normally, and that is a lot of social interaction that they are not getting. And I think as adults we're thinking, oh, I miss seeing people, I miss talking and going for coffee and everything, and our kids are missing playtime as well. So how do we help them in that aspect? And you know, how do we even do mission? You know, we have kids who really do have strong faith, and how do we say to them, right, you know, I can't tell your friends in the playground about Jesus, so how do we do that? So it's just really helping families to try and navigate that minefield at the minute, which the whole world is going through. So
yeah, just find it really interesting that you've a successful, you know, well engaged YouTube channel and you're getting lots of comments back, but actually you're also thinking about who's missing out on this, and you know, you're thinking wider and thinking how you can
totally and another thing that actually has been I found challenging. We were as a staff team just thinking about empowering people and how we can really be doing that, and now we've gone to right, it's just me and I have a team of volunteers, and how do we engage them and keep them serving our kids, and how do we keep empowering our volunteers through this season as well? So that's been a bit of a challenge and something that we're trying to figure out. How do we when we can't all be in the same room? And
One of our hopes for these Three Remain podcast and the wider campaign is to point to examples of good practice and to share stories of what congregations are doing at this time. For any of you to pitch in on this, I wonder what have been some of the blessings and some of the battles in all of this. Susie's kind of alluding to that, I guess, that there's been real blessings for her kids ministry, but she's aware of some of the battles that exist as well. So
sure, for me certainly, I think some of the blessings are that I'm reaching more people than perhaps I would have realized, and bringing the word of God to them on a Sunday. I'm still being able to bring something to the children with the children's messages, and bring something to the young people, the mid-age group and older people with the quiz that I'm doing on a Tuesday night. People are engaging in many ways, so I'm trying to bring people together. But and it's good to see that. That's a blessing to see that people are coming together in this.
Tell us really quickly about those Tuesday night quizzes then?
A couple of weeks ago, I was a friend that invited me to do an online quiz with him. So we phoned them on Facebook Messenger. So we could see each other and we were like a quiz team. And we also then used our phones to actually watch the quiz that someone had put up. And I thought to myself, you know, that's easy to do. And I had a quiz already prepared from a table quiz we did last year. So I thought, you know what, I'll just invite people and see if they want to be part of it. And they invited other people. And there was 50 people is not much in some ways, but also it's actually quite a big number. So 50 people turned up in the first week. And to get around copyright issues, I had to sing the songs rather than play the songs for the music round. So certainly interesting in many ways.
So we'll have Susie rapping here and you singing. This is
you do what you can in these days, you know, desperate times to say. So that worked out well. And then I did it the following week and got a same response. And at the same time, you don't know how many other people are also playing with their friends as well. And just only one person is maybe, you know, logged on. But it was more in a sense, just to get people together and do something that can take their mind off what's going on just for an hour. So I got the impression from the feedback anyway, that it was nice for people not to be thinking about what's going on outside the window and the horrific scenes that we're seeing, because the news is all over this. And even when we're putting messages out, we're referring to it. Of course, people are anxious. They need to hear about this. But just to have an hour of stupidity, you know.
I think there's real wisdom in that too, and knowing that obviously this is a very serious situation and there is real anxiety and, you know, and everything that goes with this, but actually we're surrounded by it. You know, every time we turn on our news screens or social media feeds, it's full of this. So actually giving people space and the opportunity just to relax or laugh together or enjoy one another's company, I think is a great response. And in some ways it balances that formal and informal, that we almost miss the informal by not gathering. That's one of my reflections at the minute, that, you know, in some ways our congregations are continuing to share some of formal teaching or formal content, but actually we're lacking that sort of basic interaction of laughing with one another and maybe finding out what's going on with each other.
True.
Nicola, do you have reflections on that in terms of a youth work context as well? And I know it would be probably wrong not to touch on the aspect of anxiety within young people, which is a real issue generally at the minute, let alone with this issue as well.
Yeah, and again, I think just touching on that idea of just having a bit of fun, like for any youth workers out there, you know that when you get together with your young people, there's always banter, there's always good crack, and we're really missing out on that. One of the things we've been doing on our Instagram is a daily challenge, and so it's just silly things that they have to do every day, whether it's get dressed up in their fanciest outfit, or today's one's find the oldest item of food in your cupboard, and bonus points if you can get one of your parents to eat it. But so it's just like silly, those wee fun things that, you know, we're posting that on our stories and they're getting to see each other, you know, do these silly wee things, which has been, just good fun just to see what's coming in from that. But I think as well, there is that element of they're missing school, especially for some of our 6 years who now are doing exams and all that. And so we've just been trying to keep in touch with them and through phone calls and text messages and stuff like that. We're trying more to do phone calls than texting, because that's what it's all at the minute too. It's all online. So actually to have a phone call in the day has been really cool. And that's been one of the huge blessings that we've seen, is just that opportunity to slow down and to be more intentional in those relationships. And it's not that we weren't ever intentional, but there was always the element of programs coming in and planning and all the things that come up in your day to day. All of that has been stripped away. Mm. And we're finding just this incredible opportunity just to slow down and be more intentional in who we're talking to and reaching out to those kids who've been on the fringes or who have been disconnected. And this is such a huge opportunity just to connect back in with some of those young people.
You're being truly countercultural by picking up the phone. I love that. And ringing teenagers again, you know. That's
quite often we do WhatsApp FaceTime, which is quite nice. It's a bit easier to face-to-face, but just having those conversations it's been cool.
Brilliant. Final question for each of you. I'd love, and this is a question we're going to ask each contributor as they come on. this podcast. I wonder, is there a piece of scripture, a passage or a verse that is or even has been key for you personally at this time? Susie, do you want to go first?
Yeah, it's just so much scripture that has been, you know, everything you read, I kind of feel like things just seem more relevant and more applicable. And not that the Bible was not relevant or applicable mm-hmm. before, but it just, when you're going through a tough time, everything seems like, wow, yeah. And a totally, certainly a song lyric that I can't get out of my head is "Yet not I, but through Christ in me." And it definitely just is a, you know, just points you straight to Jesus. Doing a YouTube channel is not in my power, it's all in his. So, but we have had loads of verses. Stuart has started a great initiative called Anchor Deep, where each member of our congregation shares a verse every day and why it means something to them at this time. One that was really standing out to me, we did the story of Daniel with our kids last week, and one was really standing out to me, and I didn't actually mention it in our YouTube video, and then one of our five-year-olds did one of the Anchor Deeps, and she shared this verse as well, and it's just been so true. That it's Daniel chapter 6 verse 26, and that says, "For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, his dominion will never end." And Ella said out of that, and she is five, she said, "It reminds me that God is not a made-up character, that he is living and he is in control." And that is totally what I am taking out of it as well, and what I am being reminded of constantly, that God is sovereign, he is living and he is in control, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. So
thanks, Susie. Thanks to Ella too for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ministering to us in that way. Nicola?
Yeah, I think there was a moment last week, just before we sort of went a bit on lockdown. I'd just come back from doing a food shop, and there'd just been lots going on in the day. That my husband's self-employed, and so obviously he wasn't working, and we were being told we had to stay inside and just missing family and all of that. And I just had this sense that probably a lot of people are, of just like, what's going on? How long is this going to last? Are we going to be okay? And just that anxiety and fear that really was, I could feel, was just building up. And as I was putting our food away, the verse from Isaiah 26 verse 3 just says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." And that verse just was playing over and over in my head, and as if God was just saying, be thankful. And so I started to just speak out the things that I was really thankful for to God for. So that we had food that I was putting away in our fridge, that we have things like FaceTime and WhatsApp and Zoom, that we can still see our families and we can still connect in with our young people. And thankful just for all of these so many things that God has blessed us with. Thankful for the people in my life. And the more that I started to speak out things that I was thankful to God for, the more it pushed back that anxiety and that fear. It was pushed back and pushed away. And I think just that verse has just become something that I talk about now all the time, of just being thankful and keeping my mind steadfast and keeping my thoughts on God and the things that I'm thankful for.
Just from what Nicola said as well, I've noticed myself that grace before a meal has taken on a completely deeper meaning than it ever had before, because you're so thankful to actually have food. You kind of took it for granted before, didn't you? But for me, I'm not sure if there is a specific verse. Instead, I think what's been key for me is the whole sweep of scripture. It's the whole story from beginning to end, that, you know, humanity messed up the world, but God promises to fix the mess through Jesus, who comes and frees us from the mess that we made. It's the hope of eternity to come through our relationship with Jesus that is key to me at this time, that whatever happens, if I come through this and stay alive, then I get to live and serve Christ. But if it so happens that I die from coronavirus, I get to spend eternity with Jesus in paradise. So for me, it's the whole sweep, that it's a win-win for Christians. Although when saying that, I suppose that is a verse from Philippians 1:21. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And I suppose having that in my head just makes me content in a strange way, that whatever happens to me, you know, God will bring me through it or through to the other side. And that's the hope that I have. And that's what's kind of grounding me in all of this. So it's not one verse, it's just the whole story that we believe in gives me comfort in this.
Amen. And on that note, we'll begin to draw this podcast episode to a close. And we're hopeful that this might spark people's thinking as you listen, consider how you might minister to the youngest within your congregations. And next week we'll be joined by more guests as we explore how our congregations can be supporting and equipping those serving in the front line of this crisis right now. But I want to say thanks to each of this week's contributors for sharing so helpfully and insightfully with us today. So thanks to Susie, Nicola and Andre. And thank you for listening to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. To access more resources such as daily devotions, prayer points and blogs to equip you in your life and witness in these days, visit presbyterianireland.org/these-three-remain. See you next time.